Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in this mayoral election year, we'll talk with some selected guests about mayoral history and how it relates to the present. And we're delighted to kick this off with former mayor David Dinkins. Mayor Dinkins, thanks a lot for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Let's go way back. When you first had the aspiration to run for mayor, were there mayors from the past who were your role models or who you particularly admired?
Well, I was never one who said, when I grow up, I'm going to be mayor of New York. That is supposed to be how Bill Clinton and John Kennedy felt about becoming president. When they were little, they said, one day I'll be president of the United States. I was delighted being borough president of Manhattan. I ran three times before I succeeded. People used to say to me, what do you do? And I say, I run for borough president. So finally, when the opportunity came to run, and having been a supporter of Ed Koch against Mario Cuomo in a runoff in 1977, Percy Sutton, who had been our leader, and we all supported Percy. By we all, I mean Charlie Rangel and Basil Patterson and the entire black political community was in support of Percy. When he did not win, we had to make a judgment, and Percy led us in support of Ed Koch, who had been a very progressive, liberal member of Congress and the city council before that.
In support of Ed Koch?
Yeah, we supported him. And in fact, Basil Patterson became a deputy mayor. Herman Badillo, who had been in the contest, became a deputy mayor. The president of my political club, who was a supervisor in probation, became a commissioner of probation. So we all supported Ed. But there came a time when Ed was less appealing to us. He seemed to move more and more to the right. And so there was a search sort of to look for a candidate to run against him. And I never can figure out how to say this without making it sound like I was drafted, because that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But people came to me and said, Dave, we think you have the best shot. And I said, yeah, but if I run and lose, I will have zero after having fought so hard to become Manhattan borough president. And I was perfectly delighted being borough president of what I saw as the crown jewel of the city, the borough of Manhattan.
What do you think happened to Koch? And meaning no disrespect to someone who, of course, just passed away and we all agree did much to help the city. He had, by his third term, become a racially polarizing figure. How did that happen?
He had, and we should also remember that no mayor was popular in his third term, not even LaGuardia.
Mm.
And Ed became less and less appealing to those who had supported him early on. And he had this penchant for saying whatever he wanted to say, and he did. And unfortunately, he made some comments that displease many in the African-American community.
People forget sometimes that you as mayor hired Ray Kelly as police commissioner and you hired Bill Bratton to be the transit police chief when those were separate positions. You had the two great police commissioners and crime started going down on your watch. I always thought, to be honest, that during Koch, crime was the criminal's fault in the eye of the media. As soon as you were elected, crime was your fault. And I thought that was a racial
double standard. You noticed that, right?
And I thought it was a racial double standard. Did you think so when you were mayor?
Oh, no question. As a matter of fact, people even today will write of, let us not return to the crime-ridden days of the 90s when Dinkins was mayor. They behave as though on December 31st, 1989, there was no crime. Just the next day when I took office.
It had been going up and up and up, certainly the murder rate as one indicator, through the 80s.
So we did pretty well. Our Safe Street, Safe City program, which we were able to get through the state legislature because, as you know, the city of New York cannot tax itself without permission of the state legislature. And we had a tough time. Milt Mollen, who is my deputy mayor for criminal justice, he and I went to Albany, and I recall one white Republican state senator when we said how desperate things were and we needed to get this legislation. He said, "My constituency is concerned with auto theft and graffiti." And you can imagine how that hit us. But Milt Mollen deserves a lion's share of the credit for seeing that we got this legislation through, which provided for a surcharge on personal income tax. But we had to agree to segregate these funds and use it for the purposes we said, not only to produce more police officers, but related areas. If you need more cops, you need more assistant DAs and probation and the like. And our program was subtitled Cops and Kids because we recognized the need to have programs that would keep young people off the street and out of trouble.
How hard was that for you, the police buildup, coming at a time when the city, as the country, was in a recession? You came into office facing a big inherited budget deficit, which I don't think was Mayor Koch's fault so much as the times. This was going on around the country. But I'm guessing that you had other priorities that you would have liked to spend money on, but here came this imperative for the police department.
Well, it was tough, but it was no doubt that we had to, our first concern had to be to be concerned with public safety. And we were, and we did. And crime went down in as early as 91. And it is not often, but from time to time, someone will observe that that was the case. Indeed, just last week, I was in Albany. I got an award from the Caucus of Black and Puerto Rican Legislators, and the governor hosted a reception in my honor at the mansion, at the governor's mansion. And in presenting an award to me, which was a beautiful replica of the Emancipation Proclamation, but in presenting it, he went on to say how crime had gone down during our administration, and that we rarely got the requisite credit for it.
But do you then give Giuliani additional credit for having brought in other police tactics with Bill Bratton, the so-called broken windows theory, et cetera, that really seemed to make crime plummet in New York even faster than it was in other American cities?
Well, I think that Bill Bratton did a great job. As you will recall, he did such a good job that he was on the cover of national magazines, and to the great displeasure of Mayor Giuliani. And that caused them to part. But the Giuliani administration, I think, did a good job in helping to bring down crime. But they certainly didn't do it alone, and it was part of that which we had done before that assisted in that cause.
About mayors and race relations in New York, Koch had his limitations, as we discussed. Then you struggled connecting with various white communities. Then Giuliani was always racially polarizing. But I think that kind of tension that went on for 20 years is gone today to a surprisingly large degree. I'm recalling incidents covering 20 years that were big headline incidents, and you know all these names. Eleanor Bumpers, Bernhard Goetz, Yusuf Hawkins, Tawana Brawley, the Central Park Five, then Crown Heights and the Korean Grocer incident under you, through Abner Louima and Amadou Diallo, and more during Giuliani. And my question is, there's been almost none of those kinds of racially charged incidents during Bloomberg's 12 years. So I'm curious if you think the times changed, the city changed, Bloomberg did something incredibly right, or what you think about the arc of race relations in the city in recent years?
Well, I think we're doing much better today than we once did. An expression that some of us sometimes use is things are not yet what they need to be, but thank God they're not what they used to be.
Why? How did they get this far?
Well, I think part of it has to go to Ray Kelly, and part of the credit has to go to Ray Kelly and Mike Bloomberg for the job they're doing. But even there's the concern that many have about stop and frisk. There needs to be care used in the stop and frisk procedure so that people who are innocent, have committed no crime, done nothing, no record at all, who are stopped by police officers. But we have to remember that we have a large number of police officers that we have. You cannot expect that in every instance, every police officer is going to behave precisely as we would wish.
Bloomberg has done so many things in 12 years, it may be hard to give him an overall grade. But where do you think the history books should start on him? Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who most changed the city, how?
I think that he has done a good job. He certainly changed the city with respect to crime. He continued what has been done before, and I fear that there will be those who will critique him negatively because of the fashion in which he achieved a third term. I wish he had done it differently, but I'm pleased that he's there.
What do you see as the biggest challenges for the city going forward into the post-Bloomberg era?
I think they're the same problems we've always had. In a city our size, we have 8,300,000 or 8,400,000 people, and increasingly the population is so-called minority. And I think that we need to understand, we each of us needs to remember that nobody but the Native American Indian started here. And so we've had waves of immigrants over the years. Some have come and they've been rather quickly assimilated into the general population. That's a good thing. But you will remember, I'm sure your listeners will recall, that there was a time when the signs read things like no Jews need apply and language like that. But we are a land of immigrants. And I say that New York City is not a melting pot. It's what I call a gorgeous mosaic. And so we need to... we need to wish to attract more people from outside the city who come and help make us great, because that's what makes our nation great, the immigrant population.
And one thing on the politics, as you know, the city has not elected a Democrat as mayor since you, and that means it's been 24 years. In this bluest of blue cities. Why do you think that is?
Well, let me make this observation for you. When I ran in 89, I had, in the Democratic primary, I had Dick Ravitch, had done a wonderful job with the MTA capital program. Jay Golden, who I see as one of the most articulate people I've ever encountered about municipal government, and of course the incumbent Ed Koch. And the conventional wisdom was that I would not succeed, for even were I to finish first, I wouldn't get 40%. Well, we got over 50%. And the day following the primary, Ed Koch, Jay Golden, Dick Ravitch all endorsed my candidacy. Now I'm up against Rudolph Giuliani, who, remember, is not yet America's mayor. 9/11 has not yet occurred. And I win by the skin of my teeth. Reporters used to ask me, why do you think it was so close? And my response was, over the years, why do you ask? And I think it's racism, pure and simple.
But that was that election. Then Ruth Messenger, Mark Green, Freddie Ferrer, Bill Thompson, all went down to defeat to people who were not Democrats. So none of that was your fault. Why do you think that the city has continued to not elect a Democrat as mayor?
Well, I think they will this time. My candidate is Billy Thompson, but I suggest to you that some Democrats are going to prevail. I hope it's Billy.
And former Mayor Dinkins, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We recorded that interview with Mayor Dinkins earlier in the week. Another hour of the Brian Lehrer Show yet to come. Stay with us.